let's give them just a wave offering. Can we do that? Doing wonderful, wonderful things. And if you have your Bible standing with me, go into the book of Matthew. And going to read a couple portions of verses here in the book of Matthew, Matthew 6 and 5. And when you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Notice the words, hypocrites and heathen. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's critical. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. The need to pray. The need to pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Luke 11 and 1 says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, teaching them to pray. You know, the awesome thing about this, Brother Charlie, is that the disciples didn't ask Jesus to teach him how to preach. They didn't ask him how to do miracles. Didn't ask him how to love people. Didn't ask him how to multiply the bread and the fish. But he asked him, teach us to pray. That's pretty profound that the disciples, with having the flesh, the visible manifestation of Jesus there, didn't ask him to teach us how to preach, or teach us how to teach a Bible study. But he said, teach us to pray. It's powerful. And to pray is to address God with adoration, confession, supplication, or thanksgiving. Definition says it's a proper, it's praying is pouring out of the soul into God as a free will offering, solemnly and eternally dedicated to Him. It's accompanied with love and submission. Prayer is the language of dependence. He who prays not is endeavoring to live independently of God. Now, pastor, my definition is prayer is an open, honest conversation with the Lord where you speak to Him. You pour out your heart, your spirit, mind to Him. You surrender to Him. It includes submission, intercession, thanksgiving, worship, and adoration. And seated there is, or there in the picture is two chairs. And I want you to just picture that the Lord is sitting in one chair and you're sitting in another. And it's important what I'm talking about tonight. And I'm not talking about pre-service prayer. I'm not talking about altar call. I'm not talking about Thursday night prayer. We'll cover those at a later time. What I'm talking to tonight is the reference to daily personal prayer. That's what I'm talking about. So there's several things that we need to do every day. Several things that we must do every day. It has to be done. The first and foremost is we need to breathe. We have to have oxygen to breathe. That can somebody agree with that? That's something we have to do every day. And we have to eat every day. Some more than others. Some obviously multiple times, and others with less time frequency. But we have to eat every day. We have to have some kind of food in our bodies every single day. How many would agree with that? We need something to drink every day. When some would say, well, that does that include coffee, Pastor? Well, that is something you drink. And so we got to have something to drink every day, preferably water, but we have to sleep every day. We need sleep every day. That is something that we have to have. We cannot go without oxygen or breathing. We cannot go without food. We cannot go without water, and we can't go without sleep. Now, I know that this is all debatable, but we were not designed to go without sleep. We were not made to go without water or food, and we definitely were not made to go without oxygen. We need to go to the restroom every day. Well, we need to earn money or have a living retirement account that you've worked and you've got money coming in, but we need that every day. These are things that we have to have every day to sustain us. How many would agree that, Pastor, that makes sense? We have to have some, and we have to communicate every day. We need some form of communication. And I know the men here saying, Pastor, I've viewed all my words by the time church time is. And so I'll just give you an old Baptist nod. That's a form of communication. But, and I know some of you are thinking, you missed some, Pastor. There's some that you missed. And we all have lists and things on our list that we feel we need to do every day. But all of us would agree that we need those six or five or six things every single day. No matter where we are, who we're with, or what else is going on, we have to have those things. Everyone cannot live and be sustained without breathing. Try it. You can't. You cannot live and be sustained without getting sleep or water or having some provision. Now I know some of you are saying, I can't live without coffee, the gym, my smartphone. I can't live without entertainment or reading or physical intimacy or a spouse. I can't live without respect or a position or a secretary. I can't live without my mom. I can't live without a job or a career. But I tell you, I promise you, you can live without those. Those things are not a necessity. You don't have to have your phone, your coffee, your spouse, or prestige. But you have to have oxygen, you have to have sleep, you have to have water, you have to have food. Consequently, we need to understand that God is and must be a part of the breathing, eating, drinking, sleeping part of our life. He has got to be. It's got to be in the fabric and the DNA of who we are. You cannot live and thrive in a spiritual relationship with the Lord without prayer. It can't happen. It won't. You say, well, I've been doing it. Yeah, but you're carnal and you're spiritually dead. And if the trumpet of the Lord sounds, I would be very concerned for you because you haven't talked to God. You have no relationship. You have a girlfriend experience. You have a Sancho experience. You got this little patty cake experience with the Lord. He wants a marriage. He wants a relationship. He wants to ensure that when what comes in is coming out, that you're not carnally minded, but you're spiritually connected to the Lord. The scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we put in comes out, right? Just like what we eat. We are what we eat. Some of us eat a lot of cheesecake and tacos, and it shows. But guess what? We're putting something in, and it's sustaining us at some point in time. We'll pay for it sooner or later. But at some point in time, it's keeping us. Saints of God, we have to ensure that the need for prayer is just like the need for breathing and drinking and eating and sleeping. It's gotta be that way. We must have a revelation that He is more important and our spiritual relationship with God is more vital than overtime, than the house we live in, the car we drive, our gym membership, following the sports and the ball game, traveling and family time. Yes, prayer is more important than family time. I've talked about it before. God, family, and the church has got to be balanced. I want us to cultivate a conviction and a lifestyle of prayer outside the church. You see, because if you never miss a day, or if you could get a hold of this revelation and you can understand what the principles and the standards that I'm trying to teach you, you will never miss a day of prayer in your life because you'll understand not only how vital it is, but the power of prayer. It's a revelation. I'm going to give you some several points about prayer. Prayer is, for the most part, is an untapped resource Many times it's unexplored outside of church. Think about this. It's talked about more than anything else and practiced less than anything else. Let's be real. How many times have you told somebody, oh, I'm going to pray for you, or let's pray about it? And how many of you have ever prayed about it? Let's be real. I've been in church a long time. I've said those things. And yet prayer is one of the greatest gifts that the Lord has given us. 2 points tonight. First point, it's not if we pray, but when we pray. In fact, Jesus talked about, in fact, in this scripture setting, in Matthew 6, he says, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. It's not a matter if you give, it's when you give. It's not a matter if you pray, but when you pray. And it's a matter not if you fast, but when you fast. You see, it's not if we breathe, but when you breathe. Right? Some of you are saying, well, you've had some close calls about breathing. And if you've ever been in a fist fight or played football or anything around the playground and you get the air knocked out of you, you're climbing around on your stomach, you're like, let me catch my breath. Because it's serious stuff when you can't breathe. It ought to be the same conviction and the same sense of urgency that when you pray, you feel like, I got to pray. I got to talk to the Lord. Because if you understand what I'm going to teach you, you'll never miss a day of prayer again. I've had some of you say, Pastor, I believe in your prayers. If something happens when you pray, guess what? I have to pray in order for things to happen. Yeah. If you don't drink water, it's not if you drink water, but when you drink water. Notice this. A.W. Tozer said, God knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows exactly what we need and when we need it. She has a story that I was told by an elder. He had a lady that was a powerful prayer warrior, and she was somebody that he would call when he was needed some prayer or was going to be facing some tough decisions, and he would call her and pray, and she would pray. She was just one of those, she was a phenomenal prayer warrior, and she would say, you know, he would ask her, how did you create such a strong prayer life? And she wouldn't tell him, and finally she told him one day, he said, you know, my husband and I lived out in the country, and he had to get a job, and he went into the city to work, and I would be left alone at the house, and we didn't have any kids, and I began to feel lonely and isolated. And Brother Charlie, she said that she just began to talk out loud and say, you know, Lord, I sure would like someone to talk to you. I sure would like some company. I sure would like for someone to come by and see me. And it wasn't too long that in a few moments she heard a knock at the door, and she goes to she's there washing dishes, and she thought her husband was coming home, and so she turned over and nobody come in, and so she began to hear footsteps, and she looked and there was nobody there, and she's in the kitchen, and what she sees, she physically saw the chair at the table pull out, and as if somebody sat in the chair and moved the chair up to the table, and she heard the audible voice of God say, I'm here. Let's talk. And from that day forward, she had that visitor, that friend, she would call it. My friend would come, and we would talk, and we would, and before she knew it, would be 2 hours, and we would have a conversation, and we would talk, and she begins to talk about how would she begin to get into that moment and understand that it's just a conversation with the one that created me. There was the need to pray. See, the problem with most of us is that we think we can rationalize or justify why we won't do something based on a convenience or the gratification that it brings us. Listen to Pastor. How many of you want to be like Jesus? How many want to be kind and loving and meek and humble and be blessed like Jesus? Amen. Guess what? Jesus prayed. He showed us how to love. He showed us what compassion was. He performed miracles. But he showed his disciples how to pray by praying. Notice in the scripture, Luke 11:1, and it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Mark 6:46. And when he, Jesus, had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Matthew 26:36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Notice Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. So now that I've laid a foundation and given you some scriptures that we need to pray, we need to do it. There's no shortcut to prayer. I there's those get rich schemes, right? There's no prayer schemes. You just have to do it. And you have to do it in order for it to get done. It's like breathing. I can't breathe for you. I can breathe with you. I can't drink water for you. I can give you water, but you have to drink it. It's like sleep. You could say, I'm so tired, and we can buy you a sleeping bag and give you a pillow and provide a cot for you to sleep on, but you have to sleep. I can't sleep for you. We could go camping and I could sleep next to you, but I can't sleep for you. Am I making sense tonight? You have to cultivate prayer for you. I can pray for you and with you just as I can breathe with you and sit down and have a cup of coffee or drink water with you. But my prayer life is my prayer life, and it's between me and God. Notice this. When you look at somebody that we would consider has a strong prayer life, it wasn't built up just in 30 days. It's been cultivated over time. It's like a tree. It grows. They just because, you know, every morning I'm here praying at the church and it's my prayer time. But I didn't start out praying an hour the first year I was in the church. It didn't happen that way. It was a long time. I was these 20 minute prayer guys and 15 minute prayers, and I would forget. But there was something that cultivated when I got the revelation and understanding and the teaching. I begin to pray and things begin to happen. It's like an addiction. You're like, well, I'm going to pray some more, and I'm going to ask him for this, and I'm going to fast. And my goodness, when you get two or three gathered together and you begin to pray, things begin to happen. When you think it's impossible, and you begin to look at the word of the Lord, and he begins to tell you to ask and to seek and to knock, and you begin to put the word of the Lord into action, right? You put some faith with the prayer, and things begin to happen. It revolutionizes and it changes your entire life and your perspective. Trust me, I don't always feel like praying. When it's cold and rainy outside, those blankets are heavy in the morning. I don't feel like getting out of bed and coming down to a cold sanctuary or a cold office, but I do it. I'd rather stay in bed. In prayer, when you understand the power behind prayer, it becomes like blood pumping in your body. It's like, man, when you pray, if we can get that into our minds and spirits, the need to pray. I need to pray. I'm going to pray. Where am I going to pray? When am I going to pray? You have to do it. Well, Pastor, when do I do it? My schedule is tight. I'm already running behind every day. I go to bed tired and I wake up tired. I work nights. I go to college. I work a full-time job. I run a business. I have kids and a husband. Hey, those are all valuable excuses. But as one lady says, is prayer your steering wheel or is it your spare tire? See, if you begin to understand that prayer, if you get the revelation, you just got to get the revelation. Prayer is like breathing. We cannot live without blood. See, some of us are going through things, have gone through things, and you begin to pull off the layers, right? Begin to pull the layers back. And I guarantee you, you've missed out on your prayer. Quality, daily, consistent prayer, some point in time has, and the devil's chipped away at it, life chipped away at it, sickness, circumstances, and before you know it, one day missed prayer, 2 days, 1 week, before you know it, things have unraveled. And you go back, the common denominator is your prayer life has taken a beating. I got this saying, if you pray, you stay, right? Think about it. You're in a relationship with somebody. If you don't ever talk to them, even if it's a long distance relationship, they can live on the other side of the continent. If you don't ever pick up the phone, send an email, FaceTime for weeks at a time, not going to work out. Months at a time, it's not going to work out. You're going to be disconnected. Irreconcilable differences. We're just not on the same page. Of course you're not. You don't even talk to each other. How are you going to be on the same? Well, they don't understand me. Of course they don't understand you. Do you go or notice this? So you go to bed tired, you wake up tired, you work nights, you go to college, work full time, you run a business, you have kids and a husband. Do you quit or go without eating, drinking, going to the restroom, sleep, or breathing because of all those things? Because you have kids, business, school, a tight schedule? No. You figure it out. You make adjustments. You get up early. You stay up later. You plan ahead. It's the same thing with prayer. You just do it. It becomes a priority. I'm going to tell you something. We're going to build a cult. We're doing phenomenal pre-service prayer and altar call. Amazing. But we're going to take it to the next level with personal, because you know what? Who we are at home is who we really are. Well, who we are when we leave Revival Tabernacle between Monday and Wednesday and between Wednesday and Sunday, that's who we really are. What we do at our home and at work and at school and on the job and we're in our car, that's who we really are. Beyond, again, this is beyond pre-service prayer. This is beyond the altar call. This is beyond Thursday nights. We'll cover those. We'll talk about those. I'm talking about a daily, consistent prayer life. You see, because pre-service prayer, I'll just break it down real quick. Pre-service prayer and prayer meeting, that's like a party. It's like a birthday party. You come together. Everybody's there. You bring something. It's strengthening. And there's Bible, and I'm going to break it down next week, some of those things. But it's the nitty-gritty, daily, consistent prayer with God that'll keep you. That'll keep you going. See, because we face real-life circumstances, situations, and tough decisions outside of Sundays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we get to apply what we've learned, and we get to see the spiritual strength of who we are during those tough times. See, none of this is going to, we won't be victorious. We can't be victorious if there isn't consistency in our daily prayer life. Notice what James says in James 5 and 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Or the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. It's pretty incredible. And the need to pray. Your life will be amazing because you're walking with the Lord in a real relationship with Him if you pray. Notice this. We cannot live for God with prayers based off pre-service prayer, altar call, or Thursday night. That's just like taking just a puff of oxygen once in a while when you come. It's like, oh, you just get a puff of oxygen. That's not going to sustain you. You're gasping for air in the real world outside of the church. You're struggling. You got trials, temptations, loves. You got sin. You got hard decisions that you're making. And you're not spiritually strong, and you're making carnal decisions, and it's affecting everything around you. And you're wondering why you're not blessed. It's because you're not getting filled up with the Lord. You're not making spiritual sound decisions. This is a spiritual battle that we're dealing with, and we're going around, walking around without a sword, without a shield, without the breastplate. We're not fully armed. We're walking around without prayer. We don't even have blood and oxygen, and we're out there trying to face all these things of life. When if we get connected to the Lord, we won't be like a fish without water, right? You pull a fish out of water, and he starts flip-flopping around, and before you know it, he dies. It's the same thing with prayer. We were meant to be connected to the Lord. You start pulling prayer out of our lives, and before you know it, we're flopping around. We become unstable. Well, the scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to pray. Galatians 5 and 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Doesn't mean that lust won't be there, but you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Second point is, be mindful of what you're doing and remember who you are talking to when you pray. Think of it. Just picture yourself sitting in one of those chairs, and the Lord's sitting there. Matthew says, when thou prayest, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray to be noticed. They've received their reward. Prayer is a relationship where we humbly communicate, worship, and sincerely seek God, knowing that He hears us, He loves us, and He's going to respond. Though He doesn't always respond in the manner we want Him to respond, or when we think He ought to respond. But prayer is personal, and it's powerful. Prayer is communicating to God. That means we have to open up our spirits. You know, you can pray without uttering a word, but you need to utter some words when you pray. You can pray while shedding tears, because tears are prayers too. God understands every tear. He collects our tears, the scripture says. But there's got to be dialogue. There's got to be communication. Remember that when you're praying, you're communicating to God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-immutable God. Imagine Him sitting there. You can just picture that in your 10, 15 minutes, 1 hour prayer time, you're talking to the Creator of the world. That's just, He's mindful of you. He considers you. I mean, quite honestly, I pray for each of you and I do my best to go down and remember who sits where and try to pray for each of you in needs. And if you send me stuff, I'll pray. But there's sometimes Sister Rivas, sometimes I forget to pray for Sister Rivas. I may pray for the Rivas home and family, but there'd be time I just, because I pictured somewhere else. And, but guess what? He don't forget. And he don't forget the things you've asked him for 20 years ago. We forget things. We forgot what we ate for dinner yesterday. He don't forget anything. The prayers you ask, he don't forget. Guess what? He's confidential. He's always awake. He's always available. Notice what Psalms 8:3 says. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? I like what the New Living Translation says. What are people that you should think about them? Mere mortals that you should care for them. You see, your Heavenly Father, you got to picture that. He's your Heavenly Father. Now, I know some of us don't have the best relationships with your father or didn't have a father or a father figure. So this is hard sometimes or it brings up bad emotions. But I want you to understand that he is not like any of the fathers that you've had or will have. He's your Heavenly Father. So if you didn't have a father or had a bad relationship or your relationship strained or you had a great father, he's greater than the greatest father. He's your Heavenly Father. He wants to have a relationship with you. He thinks about you. His thoughts are precious about you. I'm trying to build a platform because we're going to talk about some other prayer things next Wednesday. This is going to be a 2 or 3 week series on the need to pray. And some powerful things are going to happen because we're going to get a revelation of what prayer. We're going to go deeper in our daily consistent prayer life. But notice what Jeremiah 29:11 says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Haven't you ever wondered what somebody thinks about you, Brother Jose? You ever go to work and say, I wonder what the boss thinks about me? You know? Brother Andrew, wonder what the owner thinks. Man, I wonder what the owner thinks about me. I want to be a fly on the wall when they have a meeting. When I hear for I know the thoughts that I think about you, saith the Lord. These are the thoughts he has for us. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected end. Then he shall call upon me. Notice this. And he shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you. Yeah. It's hard. I understand it's hard to relate or put that in our earthly minds. But if we can catch a glimpse that the creator of the world, the one that has allowed us just to take that breath, wants to spend time with us every single day. You were created by him, for him. He has a purpose for you. He wants to bless you. And many times we're missing out on the gifts that our Father wants to give us because we don't have our authentic relationship with the Lord outside of 2 or 3 services a week. We're missing out. Notice what the scripture says in Psalms 115. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. See, when I read this, I make it personal. He's going to bless Revival Tabernacle. But I go even beyond that. He's going to bless the Panero house. He's going to bless the house of Aaron. He's going to bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. When you understand that you have the need to pray and the desire, the addiction. I'm going to use that word addiction in a good way where it's like you've got a craving. I need to pray. I got to talk to the creator of the world. There's things he wants to tell me and show me and teach me and guide me. But there's a whole lot of things I got to tell him. You see a lot of things that we vent about. You feel good after you vent. Huh? You're like, I just got to vent. Here we go. It's 2 o'clock. You know, the Starbucks didn't work. You're like 2 o'clock. Oh, but Drozic, I just got to vent. I just got to tell you this, this, and this. And you feel better. I'm so glad I got that off my chest. Right? Hey, I do that every morning. Well, Pastor, you don't get frustrated. You don't get irritated. I do. But guess what? I know that I got an allotted time. I got an appointment with him. And even if I miss that appointment, guess what? He's available. Reschedule the appointment on my time, which is really his that we learned in this stewardship series. But guess what? He's not going to push me off till next week. Well, I don't got time in my calendar for you until next Thursday at 2:00. He's just like, right here, right now. Talk to me. He wants to spend time with us. One of the most vital ways we spend time with God is in our daily personal prayer time. See, the Jews prayed regularly at 9:00 and 3:00. Acts 3:1, you learn that in Acts 3:1, at the time of prayer, Peter and John went to the temple, being the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. See, the hypocrites prayed to be seen. They prayed to be heard. They did it for show. What I'm talking about is what Jesus said is find a place to pray and pray to Him. He'll reward you openly. They did it to draw attention to themselves. And I want to clarify, I'm not talking about pre-service prayer. You lift your voice all you want during pre-service prayer, altar call, and Thursday night prayer. I'm talking about the daily consistent prayer life. You see, is your prayer time daily? And if it's not, why isn't it? Daily means every day. Every day. No matter where you are, no matter who's around, no matter if you're on vacation, you need to pray when you're on vacation. Well, I'm sharing a hotel room. Well, guess what? You get up early. You go find somewhere to pray. You take a towel. You lay it down in the bathroom and you pray right there if you have to. Because when you get the revelation of prayer, you figure it out. Just like they tell you, breakfast is from 6 to 9 in the morning. I don't care if you're on vacation. You're there. You want to eat, you get there. You paid for it. It came with it. Doesn't matter if you're at a conference or work or who you're with. Do you not brush your teeth because you're on vacation? Well, do you not eat or sleep because you're on vacation? Well, I'm not sleeping because I'm on vacation. I'm not going to eat because we're on vacation. I know we're on this vacation, but Sister Martinez, I'm not going to eat because I'm on vacation. No, we eat probably a little extra when we're on vacation. If you have to reevaluate where you're going and who you're with, because they're giving you a hard time because you're praying, you probably want to reconsider the relationship you have with them. So, Pastor, you're being a fanatic. Absolutely, I'm a fanatic. I'm fanatical about getting to heaven. Yeah, seriously. That's what it's all about. The older I get, the less opinions I want unless I ask for them. You know why? Because everybody's got an opinion. And I don't see anybody paying my bills, washing my car, taking care of some of the things that I do, but He does. And I want to please Him. And He's the one that's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He's the one that's going to judge me. Well, if you think you can skip out on prayer because you're out of town on vacation, or it's not Wednesday night, let me ask yourself these questions. Would I go without oxygen, food, or water today? Because when you get the revelation, I know I'm making some of you uncomfortable, but you're going to appreciate it once we get the foundation and things start happening. They've already happened. We've got a lot of testimonies and prayer journals of things that have happened, but I'm telling you, there's nothing as powerful as daily consistent prayer. It will change your world. It will change your life. Your family will be blessed by your children, your grandkids. It will revolutionize everything you have. Do you have a routine or a set time when you pray? If you don't, you need one. Routines are awesome. They're good. Just like you have a routine to go to the gym, to drink coffee, homework, reading, going to bed. Are you intentional about your prayer time? Do you pray in the morning, afternoon, or evening? The psalmist says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. How about in the book of Acts, Acts 3:1? Now Peter and John went up into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, at 3:00 in the afternoon. Or how about Paul and Silas, Acts 16:25? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Oh, and the prisoners heard them. Do you only pray when you're in a crisis or in distress or need something? Or are you only praying when you need or want something? Because we hear it all the time. Well, I need you to pray about this situation. You see, I do a lot of counseling. I have. Not just here, but other places. And I have never had anybody, Sister Castillo, come up to me and say, Pastor, I want to talk to you because my husband prays too much. I've never had someone come and tell me, Pastor, my husband has stopped praying. But I've had, my husband's this and my wife's this and my kid's that. I like what Brother Garcia says. You can't OD on prayer. Take all you want. Get all you can get. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Are you only praying at night, and is it the same 30-second prayer you've prayed since you were 10 years old? Now I lay me down to sleep. Just like we have a routine about brushing our teeth or when we eat. Some of us are like clockwork, time to eat, drink coffee. Same intention should be given to our daily prayer life. Be intentional about prayer. Intentional means you do it, you plan for it, you prepare for it. How about where do you pray? Where do you pray? You see, prayer is how we communicate to God. Prayer is when we speak to Him and we're building a relationship with Him. And there's intercession, there's worship, there's adoration, there's forgiveness. So where we pray is important. Do you pray in your car? Is that the only time you pray? I've been there. I've done that. I just drive 35, 40,000 miles a year. I get it. But is that the quality of prayer time we give to the Lord? Remember who we're talking to. The creator of the world. The one that can pull the plug. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Paul is saying you can pray everywhere and anywhere. I've been on vacation. I've had to leave the hotel room, or we went on a trip last year that you folks sent us on a cruise or give us a gift, and we went on a cruise, and guess what? I found myself, Sister Savannah, at the front of the ship early in the morning, just praying right there. I was all alone. I didn't just had wide open. I don't even know where I was, but I was just praying, talking to the Lord. Luke 9:18 says, and it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and asked him, saying, whom say the people that I am? How about this? Do we minimize interruptions when we pray? Do we turn the phone off and put it on silent? I understand emergencies happen. But who is more important to talk to? Oh, it's the pastor. Hey, put me on voicemail. Some of you do it already anyways. Put me on voicemail and talk to him. I can wait another hour or 30 minutes. Right? Let's be real. Who's more important to talk to? You know, Sister Ellen would make her way. I remember 17, 18 years ago, going to Praise on a Mountain. Took my cousins. They were all about the same age. My little brother, he's 9, 10 years younger than me. I was just dating Sister Panero. And we went to Praise on the Mountain. They rode with me. And I searched all over for her. You know, this is before the fancy phones where everybody had a phone. You had those bag phones back then. Some of us forget that the iPhone has only been out like 10 years. And when I saw her and I found her, I kicked all those dudes to the curb. I'll see you guys later. We'll meet right here when it's time to go after the concert. We're out of here. But I'm hanging out with her because I wanted to build a relationship with her. I wanted to be seen with her. I wanted to hold her hand. I wanted to go on rides with her. I didn't want no other hombre taking her. I wanted to be with her. I wanted to get to know her. Guess what? I canceled everything. I didn't meet up with them. We had all these plans, man. That went boom. That was over the grapevine. It was gone a long time ago when I saw her because I wanted to be with her. Same thing with our relationship with the Lord and our daily prayer. We got to have the craving and the desire to say, I want to talk to him. He wants to talk to me. I need to have time with Jesus. As we stand, Matthew 26:41 says, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. But I like what the first part says. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Notice this. Prayer is as much Pentecostal or apostolic as receiving the Holy Ghost, baptism in Jesus' name, one God, worship, making peanut brittle. Prayer is just as apostolic and as biblical as any of that. Acts 2:42 tells us, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Jesus taught it. He actually did it. We should do it and we need to do it. Why don't we pray right now? Right where we are. Let's make an altar. You can come to the altar, but I just want us to lift our hands all around the sanctuary. If you feel more comfortable coming to the altar and finding a place to pray, I'm all for that. I invite you. I welcome you. The altar is open. But I want us to spend the next 5 minutes in prayer. Everyone around here needs to pray and talk to Jesus about something. You need to have him. In fact, David showed us a prayer in Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. Why don't we pray? Why don't we lift our voices and just talk to Jesus? Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus. Let's just begin to pray and talk to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. See, prayer is not defined by your by religion or age. It's just that when you pray,
you are here, working in this place.
I worship you.
I worship you.
Hallelujah. If you feel more comfortable kneeling down or making an altar in your seat or coming to the front, let's do it. But let's just take the next 5 minutes and pray. Talk to the Lord. Some of you have come in with burdens. Some of you have come in weary and tired. You got things you need the Lord to do. You want Him to do. He needs to do for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's here tonight. Come on, prayer team. Would you help, Pastor? Would you lift your voice? Leadership, would you help, Pastor? Would you lift your voice? Let's create an atmosphere of prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. We pray for the sick, God. We pray for the lonely. We pray, God, that you would forgive us of our sins, God. Pray that you would help us, Lord. We pray that we would be more diligent with our prayer time. Jesus. Pray tonight, God. That you give us favor, Lord. That you would bless your people, God. That you would heal the brokenhearted, God. That you would touch, God. That you would help marriages, God. We pray, God. The need to pray. We got to pray. You need to pray. I need to pray.